local, dependable.
Please tell me, is that AmbuBus going to be ready?
We're rushing it. It's supposed to be picked up either this week or next week and sent to South Florida to put the kit in. So the everything about the we finally got the money from the state. That was what we were waiting on. We had to turn the money back in because the bus was in the mechanical shop. We had to put a lot of money in the mechanical for, and we appreciate the school board for giving us the bus. They donated the bus to us. So great.
All right, Eric Gilmore talking with Commissioner Jeff Burgosh during his coffee with the commissioner last week. The AmbuBus that's been kind of supposed to be here for about a. Almost a year, but it just keeps getting delayed and issues come up. And it is essential to the plan in place for the move of Baptist Hospital coming up next next month on September 23rd. Let's see. We got County Administrator. my brain. I had Eric in my head.
Wes Moreno.
joins us now. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Did you get the bus yet? This was last week. Did you get the bus yet?
Good morning, Andrew. No, we have not got the bus yet, but I will deem Eric the county administrator for the day if you want me to.
Is that a bit of a crystal ball prediction? I mean, what are you saying now? All right, fine, fair enough.
No, we do not have the bus. We've got a plan, but we do not have the bus. You know, it's been one thing after the other with parts and money and just like everything else that we're doing right now. It's just been one delay after another, but we do have a plan. We're gonna have eight ambulances assigned to the move. We're gonna have some help from some outside agencies also in the move, and some of the patients are gonna need paramedic care during the move, which would be difficult on that AmbuBus. But we got a plan, and we're gonna do it in one day, and we're gonna be successful, and we're gonna make the move happen.
Can I ask the question that it didn't occur to me till just now, and I am assuming this is a question that certainly Eric has already well considered, but it is hurricane season. They're so fixated on this one date. What if we're having a storm that day?
We'll improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what we do.
That's a good Marine slogan to borrow. I like it, Gunny. All right, fair enough. Hey, one of the big things that I feel like I don't understand well enough, and I wanted to ask you about it. You talked about the Delano Drainage Project kicking off, actually getting into the ground and starting to turn dirt on that. What is that project? Can you maybe explain it for folks? Because this is many years coming, I think, and it's a big project to help flood mitigation.
It is a series of holding ponds and drainage infrastructure going in around the central office complex down Fairfield Drive, Leonard Street, even goes over toward Palafox.
Okay, so around the jail, the sheriff's office, yep. The ECAT, all of that whole, which was very heavily affected during the 2014 flood and has historically been a huge problem. Okay, go ahead. What's happening there?
So it's a huge FEMA project. We broke ground the other day, and if you look next on that large piece of property behind the Waffle House on Fairfield and next to the central office complex, you know, you'll see them out there working. And that's the first phase of the project, if you will, digging that holding pond. We stripped up all the asphalt off that project, and we're starting to excavate the holding pond. And I got to say, Andrew, I got to say that Rob McCracken there in engineering has done a yeoman's job of securing that funding from FEMA. It was a huge lift. FEMA says, we got the bids in. FEMA says, we don't have any more money. And he went back and forth and back and forth, and he was able to work through that with FEMA and acquire the extra funding to make the project happen. So it's a huge thing. It's been talked about for years. It's been in design. It's been something that's been envisioned, and it's going to make a huge drainage impact there in that area for the businesses and residents as well in that area.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the kind of, like, this stuff about, you know, fixing flood mitigation is kind of like it's never sexy, but you really notice when it doesn't get done. And so these incremental improvements of making that stuff better is, you know, kudos to everybody who's doing this in the city and Gulf Breeze and, you know, in the county as well here in Escambia and Santa Rosa as well. The Hearst Hammock Fire, which is, this is, if people don't know about this, it's a long road that's basically like Beulah Road goes through a subdivision, then turns into Hearst Hammock Road, which goes for miles or a long distance down to this little tiny outpost of civilization down there, which can get cut off from the rest of us by anything that goes wrong in that area. Is that fire out now, contained this morning?
It is contained. It was contained last night, late yesterday afternoon.
Great.
But, yeah, you're right. It's Hearst Hammock's a long road. And, you know, we had a fire down through there last year, maybe before. For whatever reason, it seems to be a little more susceptible. But I can't say nothing about our fire rescue folks, our firemen, fire women over there. You know, it's 103 degrees outside, and they get it up, and they're out there getting that, and they're out there getting after it, doing what they do, and I'm very proud of them and very appreciative of them. But they responded, and they got it under control fairly quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, fighting fires in this heat is just – that is its own extra special problem to make sure that you don't become a victim of the thing that, you know, just of the heat itself in the process of trying to save other people or save structures or prevent, expansion of the fire. So I know you guys are, you know, doing a ton of hydrating, pre-hydrating and all of that kind of stuff and watching yourself to, you know, to not susceptible to a heat stroke or whatever. But, man, I appreciate the work that they are doing and have to do in these circumstances. We're talking to Wes Moreno, the county administrator, although we hear Eric Gilmore might be on the rise. We'll be back with him in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And the only thing that we're seeing that's blocking anything is I-10 eastbound. And this is between, it looks like, Harold and Holt. Really, if you're headed towards Crestview, you're going to want to take 90. I-10 eastbound is blocked in that area after a vehicle fire this morning. Again, I-10 eastbound is blocked between Holt and Crestview and Harold. It's in that area. So use caution there. Use caution wherever you are. 437-1620. You can always text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Back to you, Eric. Just kidding.
Thanks, Candy.
Wes
Moreno's on the line. He's the county administrator. We've got a proposed subdivision at the very east end of East Kingsfield before you get to all the kind of the, you know, the undevelopable area. 335 houses, to which the residents are like, the what now? On, you know, East Kingsfield Road is this little road, and, you know, the intersection there with what Chemstrand, I think, is the closest intersection behind all of the other relatively new subdivisions in that vicinity. How do you address the concerns that it's just kind of more of this unlimited, unfettered growth that we're just not prepared for?
Yeah, I talked to Joy Blackman about that, county engineer Joy Blackman. She came to my office, I want to say it was Monday or Tuesday, and we were talking about this particular project, and she's looking at it, and we're having some meetings about it. You know, it's you got some really, really nice area over there, and it's, so we're looking at compatibility, we're looking at infrastructure, and mainly traffic infrastructure. So we're looking at that. I'm not sure how we're going to move on that just yet, but we are looking at it. Joyce is queued in, and Horace is queued in, Development Services Director. He's queued in, and actually we have a meeting this morning, not about that project in particular, but about some land development code and compatible uses and those sorts of things. So we'll see. We have some decisions to make, and we'll work with the engineer and the developer there, and we'll see what we do to modify what they've initially presented.
Okay. All right. Well, and I remember Commissioner Barry making the comment about how, you know, a lot of projects are basically on pause until they figure out what they want to do with, for example, the LDC, and, you know, just trying to decide whether, because the message they said at the board meeting was very clear that, you know, just because you meet the basic requirements of the FLU, the future land use, and of the land development code and the zoning, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to approve it. I have my questions about the alternative to that particular thing, but I agree with the concern, you know, that we just can't keep plopping these things down without properly preparing for them is the issue. Last thing here is, I think you've got two things. One is in the planning realm, you've got the kickoff meeting for the Beulah Master Plan tonight, right?
Yep, absolutely. The Beulah Middle School kicks off this evening, and that'll be, you know, for those who are interested, that'll be a good event to show up to and and learn how to stay in touch, learn how to stay communicate your concerns, and that'll be a good meeting.
Yeah, and it's not run by the county. It's run by the firm that you hired to do the master plan. So that ought to be very interesting. And then also, you've got the Real Change Opioid event coming up on Saturday, 10 to 2 at the Brownsville Community Center, right? And this is a county event.
Yeah, this is a county event. This stems from, you know, that smaller working group that we put together, myself and Allison Patton, and we felt like we needed to make a push there in the community, in a community. We picked Brownsville first. We may take it to other areas if it's successful. But we have all of our partners with us, and they're going to be out there with us. And it's really a resource day, I call it. Here's where you find resources, mental health, opioid, homelessness. We have all our partners with us, and I'm looking forward to a good event out there. And I'm hoping that it really makes a change for some folks. I mean, a positive impact to that community there. And like I said, if it's successful, we'll take it to other areas of Escambia County.
And this is, I mean, you know, you're going to feed them free lunch. There's opioid addiction help. There's ID services, free haircuts, transportation, veteran support services. I mean, this really is meant to be kind of a comprehensive, whatever you might need, come here and we'll see if we can't figure out either how to get it to you right now or put you in touch with the people that you need to get it. So I love that y'all are doing this. I think this is a great outreach to the community, especially those people who are struggling. So that's great. 651 on News Radio 92.3. Wes Moreno, thanks so much for the time, as always, and the work you do on behalf of the county. I appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely.